In Matthew 24, Jesus talks about the fact that in the end, it would be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. What does that mean? I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
I've read a good deal by many about what Noah's day was like, as well as what Lot's day was like, and what we can expect in the end times, times I believe that we're now living in. Jesus mentions the people of Noah's day in his Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. And it is definitely worth our time to understand just exactly what Jesus was referring to. I'm Dr. Fred, and I want to thank you for joining me on another episode of Study, Grow, Know. We have been dealing with political correctness, and that's the series that we're continuing in as we talk about what it was like during the days of Noah. Now, when Jesus referenced the days of Noah, as well as the days of Lot, was he talking mainly about fallen angels who found a way to procreate with human women during the days of Noah, as we read about in Genesis chapter 6? It would seem that since Jesus points to both the days of Noah as well as the days of Lot as being similar to the way it would be just prior to the end of the age, then maybe he was actually referring to something else. I think we need to remember that Jesus was pointing out the similarities regarding both Noah's day and Lot's day. And he used those similarities as situations that would also exist during the time of the end, the time just prior to his physical return to the earth. There's no mention or reference to Nephilim in Lot's situation as there is during Noah's time in Genesis 6, specifically 6:4. Now, in Genesis 19, we are introduced to two of the angels who had already spent time with Abraham. In Genesis 18, there were three individuals, one of whom we believe to be a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus himself. During the time that the Lord spoke to Abraham, explaining what would take place with respect to Sodom and Gomorrah shortly. Now, both cities were scheduled to be destroyed. And Abraham became concerned because his nephew Lot and Lot's family lived in Sodom. Through a series of questions and answers, God assured Abraham that he would not destroy those cities if only as few as 10 righteous people lived there. Unfortunately, as we are to learn from that narrative, only Lot and his two daughters escaped the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Genesis 19 opens with the angelic messengers having just arrived at the gate of Sodom, where Lot sat. And it was close to evening. It was also time for most people to head inside, kind of like our cities today. A lot of times, if you're living in a city or near a city, you go to the city if you have something specific you need to do. You don't wander around areas that are unfamiliar to you. You get done what you need to get done, and then you leave. That's kind of the way it was during Lot's time. If you valued your safety, you remained indoors. Now, what we learn here in a few moments into the narrative is that not everyone went inside, but many actually came outside during this time of the evening. And again, that's like it is in a lot of cities. And that's normal. However, Lot grew concerned about the welfare of the two visiting individuals that he did not yet know were angels. I doubt at this point that he understood they were angels, because the text doesn't give us any indication that he did. And if so, he probably would not have been so concerned for their safety. But he was concerned for their safety, so he obviously saw them as just two human beings. And the text is very clear that Lot asks them to turn aside and stay with him in his home. And that's verse 2 of chapter 19. The men respond by saying that they'll spend the night in the square. And that's the second part of verse 2. Lot becomes concerned, as we see in verse 3. Where he urges them strongly to go with him to his home. Lot clearly did not think it was safe for them to remain out of doors during the night. And finally, they acquiesce to Lot's suggestion. Now, as I mentioned, some cities today, or parts of almost every major city, are like that. It's not good to go there at night. Unless you are very, very familiar with the geography and the people. But in general, if you're not used to being in that part of the city after dark, it's probably a good place not to be. Now, verse 4 of chapter 19 tells us that the men, both old and young, of the town came to Lot's home and they surrounded it. Genesis 19:5 states that the men ask, quote, "Hey, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may have relations with them," unquote. Other translations say the men wanted to, quote unquote, know the strangers. Now, it's clearly a sexual reference, and anyone who would deny this is kidding themselves and really proving their ignorance. The men wanted to have sex with these two strangers, whether the two strangers wanted to participate willingly or not. Though many possible explanations of the quote-unquote true meaning of this passage have been offered, it's unmistakably clear that the men wanted to know the two strangers in a sexual way. Now, the politically correct police of our day have done everything they can to ensure that this section of scripture does not reflect badly on the homosexual community. Wouldn't do to have people think that there were homosexuals alive during Lot's day who wanted to rape two male strangers. Even if those are the facts, give people the wrong idea, they would start making sweeping generalizations. So they obfuscate the facts. But it's clear that Lot knew what the men of the town wanted, because what does he do? Kind of something weird, which I would never do, but he offers his own two virgin daughters to the men and the boys of Sodom in the hopes that this will satisfy their cravings and that they will leave the two male strangers alone. I'm beginning to think that Lot recognizes something special about these two visitors. And again, I would not have offered what Lot offered. The fact that Lot made it clear that his daughters were virgins also contextually confirms the fact that these two men were interested in having sex with these two visitors. It's too clear to deny, yet people do deny it because they don't like the implications and ramifications of what it says. Let me state clearly that sin is sin. I'm a sinner, and so are you. Jesus points out in the Sermon on the Mount on Matthew 5-7 that to lust after a person, for instance, is the same thing as participating in a sexual liaison with them physically. To God, there is no difference at all. Socially, the stigma and consequences of our physical sin may be greater than our mental sin. For instance, sexually transmitted diseases, pregnancy, divorce, etc., etc. But there is no difference between the thought, lust, and the physical act, sex, as far as God is concerned. And that's really important for us to understand. But the politically correct police of our day have come along and denied the obvious meaning of Genesis 19. And they've denied that because they want to protect a group within society. They decide that we cannot have this in the Bible about homosexuals because it makes homosexuals look bad. Therefore, they attempt to change the meaning, yet they fail miserably at every turn. So they opt to simply deny the truth as if all homosexuals are above the desire to rape someone or to take sexual advantage of a child or another human being. So they're superhumans, I guess, huh? No, they're not. And by the same token, I'm quite certain that there are many homosexuals today who don't think of raping other men. But there are probably some homosexuals today who do think of it a lot. There are men who, unfortunately, think of raping women all the time. But certainly not all men do that. Why should we eliminate any reference to actions of depraved homosexuals that occur in the Bible, but leave the examples of adultery, rape, or murder done by heterosexuals in Scripture? Do homosexuals expect us to believe that they are all above raping another individual, as happened in Lot's day? Apparently. It's such a fairy tale, though. As an aside, you know that the show To Catch a Predator, in which Chris Hansen sets up an elaborate scheme to catch male predators going after young girls. They reel them in one after the other, and thank God for that, because it gets these people off the streets. But I wonder why we never see an episode about men wanting to have sex with young boys. I don't know of any episode that exists where To Catch a Predator has done that. Perverted Justice is a force behind the show, and they do a great deal to catch pedophiles. But do they actively pursue male pedophiles who go after young boys? Or are they only interested in male pedophiles who go after young girls? I've written to the individuals at Perverted Justice twice, and I have not yet received a response. Now, here's the way I see this. If Chris Hansen's TV show went after men who preferred underage boys as sex toys, we might expect to hear loud complaints from gay activists. Obviously, they really don't want us to see homosexuality as normal. They want us to see homosexuals as super normal, without any quote-unquote sexual flaws. Isn't a pedophile regardless of the gender? I think so. There are likely homosexuals who want a solid relationship with another person. The homosexuals living in Lot City were apparently not like that. They had one thing on their mind, and that's what they wanted. But still, it's clear from God's word that homosexuality is wrong. It's not what God created. It's not what he intended. And not too long ago, after doing years of study with identical twins, scientists have determined that there is no homosexual gene. What does that tell you? It tells you that it is not part of God's created and ordered universe. It's the result of fallen humanity. Now, if he wanted to, don't you think that God could have made provision for that in the Garden of Eden? But of course, here's another place where the politically correct police come to laugh you to scorn if you deign to be stupid enough to believe that God created Adam and Eve. Of course it didn't happen like that, they charge. It's a metaphor, a fanciful narrative. Well, whatever. Getting back to the story, we read that the men of the town rejected Lot's offer with the words, quote, "This one came in as an alien and already is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them," unquote. Genesis 19:9. And by the way, just so we're clear here, the word alien is not referring to either beings from outer space or illegal aliens that flood into this country from Mexico. In this context, the word alien simply means stranger from another land. And Lot's presence in Sodom was not illegal or from outer space. I add this as a courtesy to those who like to claim that people like myself really don't take Scripture literally. My earnest endeavor is to understand Scripture as God intended. So yes, I try to glean the literal meaning of Scripture at every turn, just as I do in everyday speech with people. So the threats begin from the militant crowd of men toward Lot. They have no patience for Lot or his sanctimonious and what they consider to be judgmental attitude. Just who does Lot think he is anyway? And who made him boss? They will now treat him much more brutally than the two visitors when they finish with them. Nice, isn't it? You have to love those on the left, don't you? They will do whatever they can to shut down anyone with whom they disagree, even if it includes, in this case, physical or sexual brutality. Obviously, Lot, a hater, had it coming to him, according to the politically correct police. Well, we will continue this next time. I thank you so much for joining me. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.